I've been accused of preaching too fast, and I guarantee nobody will accuse me of that today. I will move through the scriptures today, but so hang in there, and we'll move through this, and then we'll be on to lunch. We'll be in Acts chapter 4 in just a few moments, talking about the matter of a consistent message. Let me ask kind of a dumb question, but perhaps how many have ever sent a text message? How many ever sent a text message? All right, bring those hands down. How many have ever hit send and then you said, oh no, it didn't say what I thought it said? Anyone been there? Sure. Watch what happened to this lady. Look at this text. She sent it to her son. Your great aunt just passed away. LOL. Why is that funny? Says her son. It's not funny, David. What do you mean? Mom, LOL means laughing out loud. Mom says, oh my goodness, I sent that to everyone. I thought it meant lots of love. Now I got to call everyone back. You text the wrong message, you can recoup from that. You can correct it. You can be embarrassed for a little bit. You can correct it and move on. But as Christians, when we send out the wrong message to the people around us, and as a church, if we send out an inconsistent message to the community around us, it can be very, very difficult, painful to recover from. People are watching those who claim to be believers in Jesus Christ. And when we gather together as a church in a community like this, people are watching our church to see, to listen, are we sending a consistent message? Do we walk the talk, what we claim to believe? We can't escape the fact people are receiving a message. They're receiving from us something about Jesus Christ, something about Christianity, something about the importance of a local church. They're receiving that message whether we realize we're sending it or not. So the challenge is that message consistent? Is that message correct? That's where we're headed this morning. Here's your big idea as you follow along there. The consistent message of the early church radically impacted the people around them. The consistent message of the early church radically impacted the people around them. Our church is constantly sending a message, whether we realize it or not. So the question we'll explore from Acts chapter 4 this morning is this: how can we remain focused on a consistent message to the community around us? A consistent message to the community around us. We're going to find three factors quickly this morning. Three factors that a consistent message depends on. Let me set the scene for you in Acts 4. Early in the book, of course, Jesus, he's already been crucified. He's already resurrected from the dead. He's already spent time making multiple appearances, and then he ascends back into heaven, and he leaves with those early disciples the challenge of building the church. He leaves with those early followers the opportunity to start spreading the good news, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And you jump into Acts chapter 2 and you find that thousands of people come to know Christ. The church is off to a terrific start. It's off to a great launch. Thousands are coming to know Jesus Christ. Miracles are being performed. Lives are being transformed. And then we get the end in chapter 3, we're introduced to a man who was born lame. A man who had never walked a day in his life. And then this man would be carried by his friends, that Scripture tells us back in Acts chapter 3. He'd be carried daily to the temple in hopes that some miracle would await him there. That somehow he would be touched in such a way that he could be healed. Day after day, they haul him there, they haul him back. They haul him there, they haul him back. And nothing happens until this day. In Acts chapter 3, we read about a day where this man is there and Peter and John walk by. And the man sees them, and he looks to them for something. And Peter and John, two of the original apostles, they look at him, and they say, hey, silver and gold, we don't have that, but what we have, we give you. And they look at this man for the first time in his 40-plus years, and they say this: in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. And we read that the guy, he didn't just timidly get up. The guy got up, on newly healed legs. And he didn't stop there. No, we read in the Bible that he leaped and he praised God. There was no questioning what had just happened to this man. The early church was off to an exciting start. And now they're going to face their first persecution. Now they're going to face their first persecution. And the challenge is going to be, will they send a consistent message? Here's factor number one. A consistent message, first of all, depends on always recognizing our source. Always recognizing our source. Let me begin reading in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse number 13. It says, now, when they, that's the religious leaders, because they, in chapter 4, they're not too happy about what's going on with this new church. They're not too happy about what's going on in this preaching of Jesus because it grates against their religious system, their system of works. It grates against all of that. And so they're coming down on these men. And it says in verse 13, when they, the religious leaders, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled. And they realized they had been with Jesus. Verse 14 says, seeing the man who had been healed standing there with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, that's the religious leaders, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And look at those next few words. We cannot deny it. We cannot deny it. Two realities these guys could not get over. The first was the boldness of Peter and John's teaching. Here they are, uneducated, untrained men. They've been following Jesus around for 3 years. They've been listening to him. They've been mentored by him. They've been part of his inner circle. And these, all of a sudden, they're preaching this powerful gospel. And lives are being radically transformed. And the religious leaders are saying, how is it possible that these guys could see those kinds of results? Why? Because they had been with Jesus. And been with Jesus doesn't mean just they physically followed him around. Just doing religious stuff doesn't make one a follower of Jesus. Just ask Judas. Just doing religious stuff does not make one a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. Judas followed him around for 3 years. Judas got invited to that Last Supper, but Judas was not genuine. Those who place their faith and trust fully in the resurrected Christ, those are genuine followers of Jesus Christ. External appearances doesn't make anybody a genuine follower of Christ. So Peter and John had internalized this, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the leaders, they could not deny the boldness of Peter and John's teaching. But there's something else they couldn't deny. They couldn't deny the presence of the lame man standing before them. They could say, no, miracles don't happen, but there's this man. He's standing on two healed legs. No cane, no crutch, no walker. He's standing before them. He's running all around. He's leaping. He's praising God on those legs that didn't work for over 40 years. They couldn't deny it. Doesn't mean they agreed with it. Doesn't mean that they believed in this Jesus, but they could not deny it. The bold preaching and teaching of Peter and John and the presence of the lame man standing, they could not pretend the healing wasn't real. Folks, the end of that passage says, we cannot deny it. Why? Because Peter and John and this lame man and the other disciples, the other genuine followers, they were walking billboards, walking advertisements for Jesus Christ and for the power of the gospel message. You ever seen a walking advertisement, a real one out there? I read about a guy, he's got a picture of him here. His name is Jim Nelson. A few years ago, he actually sold the rights to the back of his head to a company. He sold that for $7,000. I got some expensive real estate back here. You got, it's going to the highest bidder. Put my kids through college. this guy, he sold it to this company. This is a real tattoo he had put on there. And the deal was, they paid him $7,000. He'd keep it there for 5 years. The company didn't last 5 years. Poor guy. These next two kids, though, they had better luck. These college students in England, they came out of college with huge student debt. And they thought, how are we going to pay off the student debt? So they started a company called Buy My Face. And they paint on their face for a daily fee. They'll paint a different company every day, whoever pays them, to buy their face for the day. So anybody who sees them that day sees what they stand for, what they represent that particular day. Folks, whether we realize it or not, we are walking advertisements for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether we realize it or not, our church is a human billboard for the good news, the life-transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can pretend that's not real. We can pretend we're not sending a message. We can pretend nobody cares. But the reality is, we are advertisements for the good news of Jesus Christ. The religious leaders here said, we cannot deny it. Doesn't mean they agreed. Doesn't mean they followed. They could not deny. Why? Because the disciples never, ever, ever turned from who their source was. They always recognized Jesus Christ as the source of their transformed lives. Here's the application of this first point. Keep pointing to Jesus as the source of your strength because people are watching. People are watching. Let's move on. Second factor this morning. A consistent message also depends on never retreating from our stance. Never retreating from our stance. Remember, persecution just hit the early church. Thousands were added to the church in chapter 2, and you move into chapter 3, and all of a sudden in chapter 4, bam, the first persecution, the first major trial. How will this baby church respond? Look at verse 17 of Acts chapter 4. The leaders said, but so that this spreads no further among the people, this is the religious leaders, let's severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19 says, but Peter and John answered and said, quote, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. The religious leaders could not deny the powerful preaching and teaching of Peter and John. And Peter and John cannot help but teach and preach regardless of the risk, regardless of what's involved. They could not help that. Folks, what would it take? What would it take? What kind of persecution? What kind of difficult circumstance would it take to shut down your message? What would it take to silence your testimony, to squelch your courage as a believer in Jesus Christ? What would it take for this church to begin to compromise on who we are, to begin to compromise on the message? Folks, this church has been through much turmoil lately. And those who have been around a while can certainly can attest that there have been many crises over 60-plus years of ministry. And I can tell you for sure, there'll be many more difficult times in the life of this church. That sounds so negative, you say, Pastor. Why can you say that? Why can you promise there'll be difficult times? Here's why. Here's why. We've been talking a whole lot in this past year about what's wrong with our church. What's wrong with Calvary? There have been conversations in here. There have been conversations in classes. I'm sure there have been conversations in hallways and in parking lots and over the telephone. What's wrong with Calvary Baptist Church? Let me give you something different to think about today. Let's talk about what's right at Calvary Baptist Church. Here's what's right. Satan, one preacher once said, Satan does not attack a dead horse. Satan doesn't attack what's already dead. Satan attacks what's alive. Satan attacks what's moving forward. Satan attacks what's making impact. So instead, and I had to catch myself on this, stop praying that God would take away all the attack, and instead start praying, God, give us a consistent message in the midst of the attack so that our community and everybody that sees us, everybody that knows us, knows where we stand and knows God is still in control. As you heard Stephen say in the video a little bit ago, let's all be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Here's the application. Keep standing on God's truth because people are waiting for you to retreat. People are waiting and watching for you to retreat. Consistent message depends on always recognizing our source, never retreating from our stance. And finally this morning, consistent message depends on always, always rejoicing over our Savior. Look at these last two verses, 21-22. When they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had been perform. These believers could not help but rejoice. They could not help but glorify God. Even though it was risky, even though they knew they would suffer even greater persecution, but they could not help it. They could not be silenced. They openly praised God, no matter who was listening. I had a great visit this week with who I believe is our oldest living member, Hollis King. She's over 100 years old. And she had a fall, and I went to visit her in the hospital, and I tell you, what a blessing. She began to say, you know, about difficult times in church and that kind of thing, and then she just said, you know, but it really doesn't matter. I don't worry about that stuff anymore. She said, I don't worry anymore. She said, I used to do the flowers there at Calvary years ago. She said, we didn't even have a budget then when I did flowers. She said, but I don't know if people didn't like what I did. I don't know. I'm sure there were some who didn't like it. She said, but that doesn't really matter to me. She said, you know what matters? This is exactly what she said. She said, you know what matters? It just matters that the Lord was pleased. That's what she said. 100 years old. We can gain great wisdom from someone who's walked this earth for a century. Her conclusion, as long as God is pleased. Folks, we serve an audience of one ultimately, don't we? As long as he is pleased, that's what matters. That'll help us to overlook a whole bunch of stuff. That's what Miss King was getting at. I can overlook all that stuff as long as God is pleased. And I know there are times we don't feel like praising God. I know there are times, but you can do that. You can still praise him when your circumstances don't look praiseworthy. You can still praise him even when your health isn't up to it. You can still praise him even when the financial resources aren't always there. You can still praise him when the emotional pain looks unbearable. Even when every problem isn't resolved, every situation isn't finalized, you can still praise him. Why? Because God still loves you, God still has a plan for you, and God still loves his church. And he still has a purpose and a plan for his church, folks. This is God's plan A for reaching the world with the gospel. There is no plan B. You're it, I'm it, we're it. That's where it goes. People are watching. People are watching. So the application, keep praising Jesus in the midst of the challenges of life. I sat in Dunkin' Donuts for a couple hours yesterday just going over this message. And when I left, I said, I really don't know how to bring it all together, Lord. And I sat there for an hour and a half. Told my wife, I'm going to go down there. I don't know where this is going at the end. And as I got there an hour and a half into it, I still didn't know. And I had my laptop, and I had some earphones in. I had some praise music playing, and I went to just take a break and use the restroom. And I actually said this. I talked to myself, asked my wife. I talk out loud. And I said this. I said, all right, Lord, how are we ending this thing? And I walked back out, and I sat back at my table, and there's a man mopping on the floor there, a worker there that I'd never met, which is amazing because I'm in there all the time. And he started talking to me, and I took my earphones off, and we began to talk, and he said, what kind of work do you do?
And I said, I'm a pastor right here in town. And I gave him a card, and we began to talk. I said, I hadn't seen you in here before, and we introduced ourselves. And he said, well, I really miss my family. He said, my family's in the country I came from. I'm not going to give you his name because I want to build a relationship with him. And he said that they're in the country that I came from, and I haven't seen my wife and kids in over a year. He said, I miss them terribly. And as he's mopping that floor, I said, I'd like to be able to pray for you and for your family. And I wrote all my notes on a Dunkin' Donut napkin. And I told him, I said, I'm going to pray for all this. And I wrote his name there and the country they're from. And he said, I miss them so much. And then he said this, after I said we're going to pray for them, he said, you and I are going to be good friends. I got home, and about an hour later, he texted me twice yesterday afternoon. I love to stand here and say that, you know, on that freshly mopped floor, we knelt down on that newly cleaned floor at Dunkin' Donuts, and we could hear I Surrender All Pain in the background, and that he gave his life to Christ, but that didn't happen yesterday. But here's what I do know. He's watching. He's watching. He's watching to see, will there be a consistent message from this guy that was sitting in Dunkin' Donuts on Saturday morning. Folks, people are watching you. They're watching me. They're watching to see what's it going to take for you to retreat from the message you claim to believe. Let's give them a consistent message. Because the message is unchanging, and the church is God's plan. We are the church. Let's go out and be the church. Everywhere God sends us, let's bring the message, a consistent message of the good news of the life-transforming power of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray. Oh God, we come before you today, Lord God, celebrating all that you've been doing. But God, looking forward, looking ahead to what you want to do, not only in our church, but in our individual lives in the day ahead. Lord God, in the year ahead. And God, I just pray that we would bring the consistent, life-transforming message of Jesus Christ to the people who cross our paths, because people are watching. They're waiting for us to abandon your plan, the church. Just because there are problems. Just because it's been a difficult year. People are waiting for us to quit. But oh God, we don't want to miss what you're going to do in the days ahead. We don't want to miss because we stepped away. We want to be a part of the solution. We want to be a part of your plan. We want to be a part of your purpose. And we look expectantly for people to cross our path that we can impact with the good news of Jesus Christ. God, I pray if there's some here who perhaps have followed you and done the religious stuff, but have never embraced the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the only forgiveness of their sins. God, I pray that today they would make that decision. Today they would step out from their seat and they'd come let us know that, so they might leave this place today radically transformed. Thank you for those that were baptized today, for Joy and for Ryan expressing that to us. We could witness the transformation in their lives. God, let it not end there. Let this just be part of a great journey that we walk together as a church. I pray now that you challenge those who need to respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and respond.